Welcome to Kaput Radio. Hi, it's me, Martin. Today, I'd like you to feel comfortable with some older and new material from the political and current affair media landscape which I dug up. Before you turn off, remember that the most common debilitating circumstances with aging men like me are 1. Hyperactive bladder, and 2. Short-term memory loss, or in popular jargon called voluntary Alzheimer's. So, when both coincide, while listening to this program, I may just voice this disclaimer for any responsibility resulting from that, wet pants and such. It will be some Australian stuff, but I may voice over occasionally to bring overseas listeners up to scratch on the issue or personality involved. So lean back and don't become old.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is good enough for me.
Spain is in trouble. Spain's once successful banking industry collapsed.
Spain is too big to fail, too big to bail.
But Spain's economy is contracting.
The faucet, it is dripping and the fence is falling down. Parking needs some money so I can't go into town. My brother, he ain't working and my sister doesn't care. My car, it needs a motor so I can't go anywhere. Horse my money, something I don't know.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is good enough.
Oh, good enough for me.
Mañana,
oh, yeah.
Mañana,
mañana,
mañana is good enough.
In order to appear doing something about the Euro crisis cries, Angela Merkel and her followers, running the European economic vehicle with too much slipstream, have introduced a couple of political financial decisions recently. The first measure she calls the Schuldenbremse, literally translated meaning debt brake. Brake as in decelerating a vehicle by using a brake. But the intention is actually to accelerate growth of the economy. A German comedian pointed out that when using a debt brake, it doesn't slow down anything at all, therefore being a useless expression of a German chancellor who gained some prominence with many previous useless political expressions. In a comparison, the comedian points out that using the handbrake in a car doesn't decelerate your hand either. Well, I thought that is quite a point. And in an English sense, it also doesn't break kaput your hand under normal operating conditions. But these are not normal operating conditions. This is a bummer of a recession, and a decision needs to be made about the whole concept of Europe as an economic entity without a central bank in this present finance system, with central banks globally. In Merkel's case, it's austerity she resorts to, but it increasingly becomes politically untenable. Therefore, she came out with another useless expression. Her government is against Eurobonds, while France and other threatened economies scream for issuing more Eurobonds and rolling back austerity measures. So, not to lose her followers and save face for the month, she agrees to project bonds. This supposedly means growth-accelerating stimulus money for worthy projects. Worthy? For Greece? Merkel mystery again. So, in Angela's case, project bonds are different from euro bonds, although both mean more borrowing and more uncomfortable liabilities down the line for everyone. So far, none of the measures had any effect of turning around the European situation, so will more useless expressions from the strongest economy in Europe change anything? But then, you could have other useless expressions with new currencies, such as the introduction of the Euro, the Ituro, the Spuro, or Germany could just keep the Euro and let everyone else have their own useless currencies, like the British Pound. Meanwhile, Britain, no, Hang on, not Britain, but London is about to enjoy the Olympic Terror Games with a hearty double-dip recession as a backdrop for a lot of people who have not the faintest interest in the Games, but wonder how they fare when the bills have to be paid for the lavish London extravaganza. And here again we have austerity versus some or other government-sanctioned bond thingy for purposes of growth. It's like a gambler seated at a slot machine, knowing the machine is faulty, during the last 4 years stuck heaps of money into the slot and lost every time. Because he's hooked on the thing, this time he tries to stick some more money into the exit slot, hoping the machine will rattle briefly and right itself again for further gambling pleasure. Austerity measures and bond issuing is like trying to brake the vehicle by stepping on the speedometer in the dashboard. Ouch! It's like completing another loop inside the circular box and wondering whether we should let the cuckoo fly.
Their network rollout is underway.
No, it not.
And provides access to high-speed, more reliable broadband to every home and business in Australia.
No, it does not.
More at australia.gov.au/nb.
And I thank the Honourable Member for his question. That is obviously something we will be addressing. We will be addressing that at the appropriate time. Not an inappropriate one, but an appropriate one. But the Honourable Member, Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Member can... Speaker, the Honourable Member can rest assured that we will, at the appropriate time, be doing something that's good and sensible, not bad and insensible. And I think the Australian public has had enough of bad, insensible things done by Labor when they were in office for the 13 years they were in office, in which they could have done something that wasn't idiotic and stupid. But, Mr. Speaker... Speaker, they chose instead to do them at an inappropriate time. Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Member for Brand is looking at me. Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to say exactly what those good things, those sensible things are that we'll be doing at the appropriate time. That's a matter for Cabinet to decide, and I would be breaching confidence as if I were to trot out to you willy-nilly the detail of what we've discussed and the privacy of our in-camera conversations. I'm not going to betray the Prime Minister, as I'm sure the Honourable Member for Hotham did during his 13 years.
Oh, come on, come on.
The Honourable Member for Hotham.
Oh, Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Hotham will step down.
Speaker, I'm not about to stab the Prime Minister in the back by doing that. Hack away at his skull with an axe, Speaker, and eat him. And I don't think anybody here is seriously asking me to do that. I'm not going to stand here, Speaker, I'm not going to stand here dressed as a Viking and ride about this chamber on a unicycle, as the Honourable Member for Kingston no doubt did. Sick and fed up to the gills with the sort of mismanagement, the sort of stupid, insane, ill-timed things that were decided under the Labor government, that drove unemployment to the highest rate since Federation, and, Mr. Speaker, rainfall to its highest recorded level since the Depression. Mr. Speaker, we can promise that the Australian people... One thing that Labor could never provide in its 13 years in office, its 13 years of hard labour. And that's the mess we're cleaning up now, the Beazley black hole, the Beazley quasar, Mr. Beazley's own personal white giant. But we can promise, Mr. Speaker, we can promise that the Australian people will get good, unstupid decisions made punctually, at reasonable, sane times, which reflect the mandate we have been given. Yeah. And in answer to the second part of the Honourable Member's question, no.
I'm Bear Grylls. I've done all sorts of crazy. And today I'm going to be showing you how to survive in the harsh climate of the Nimbin area. I'll be crossing uncharted waters and facing the dangerous natives. This is Man vs. Wild.
Your name is Mort.
My name is Mort, yes, good evening.
And what do you do, Mort?
Oh, you know, I get up in the morning, might take the dog for a walk.
Or... No. I mean, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a fiction writer.
Ah, fiction writer, yeah. How interesting.
Yeah.
Who for?
For one of the big banks.
Terrific. And what's your surname, Mort?
Gagebelt.
Mort Gagebelt.
Yes, that's right. Good evening.
Okay, Mort, your special subject tonight is the public life of Australia. Your time starts now.
Thank you.
Interesting subject, by the
way. It is, certainly is at the moment, isn't it?
What sort of voting system do we have in Australia?
Oh, pretty ordinary.
No. I mean the name of the system.
Oh, Mort. Its name?
Yeah.
Is it Bill Shorten?
Preferential voting's what we were looking for there.
Preferential voting system. Yeah. It's compulsory.
Yes, it is. Oh. Who is the Speaker of the Australian Parliament?
Good question. Peter Slipper, technically, but of course he's currently stood himself down because there's an investigation into certain activities.
Yeah, correct. The federal budget's just been announced. What was the reaction to it, Mort?
No one. People want to know what the hell's going on with Peter Slipper and Craig Thompson, of course.
Correct. Yep. What was Craig Thompson's job before he was in Parliament?
He was a union official.
Correct. Do we know which union?
Yeah, the Union for Embattled Health Services.
Correct. It was the Embattled Health Services Union.
That's right.
And who was he working with when he was in that job?
Appassionata von Climax.
I think you're guessing there, Moore.
I read it in the paper.
He was working with the ALP. He was trying to get elected into Parliament.
Oh, it's gone well for him then.
It has. Yeah. What is the role of Bill Shorten in the ALP?
Is he a waiter?
Correct. Joe Hockey gave a speech recently. What was it called?
The End of Entitlement.
Correct. And where did he give that speech, Moore?
At the Institute of Economics in London.
Correct. What is the role of Joe Hockey in the opposition?
Something to do with irony?
General duties will cover
general
that,
duties,
I think.
Yeah, general duties.
Who has just announced that he's standing against Wayne Swan at the next election?
Clive Obama.
No, it's Clive Palmer.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was important. I didn't realise it was that important.
Who is Christopher Pyne?
He's on TV a lot. He's a kind of spokesperson.
Spokesperson for what?
Oh, no. Is it cleaning products?
No, Mr. Pine's the Shadow Minister for Education.
He's not, is he?
Yep, he is. Who is Bob Carr?
Oh, yeah, he TV as well. Is he on The Voice?
No, he's overseas a lot.
Oh, he's a pilot?
No, he's the Foreign Minister.
Oh, really? I thought he was an Australian, Bob Carr.
He is an Australian. He represents the country overseas, Mort.
Really?
Bob Carr does,
cleaning
yeah.
Cleaning products?
No, it's got nothing to do with cleaning products, Mort.
Somebody's got something to do with cleaning
and
products.
And after that round, Mort, you have won a leadership challenge.
Oh, fantastic. Who's having a crack
great.
This time?
Well, there's Kevin, there's yep. Stephen, there's Bill, and then there's you.
So I'm bat number four.
Yep.
Good, I'll duck down and get a coat out of the car.
Of course, the Craig Thompson, Peter Slipper thingo is fueling the leadership lawnmower engine. Atlanta Monkley has a nice voice.
Julia Gillard, she talks to us like we're retarded, and maybe she's right, though floundering in the very polls that made her become Prime Minister less than 2 years ago, rumblings in caucus point to the possibility of another leadership challenge. And again, Kevin Rudd's name keeps coming up, particularly if you're talking to him. Joining me are Hazel Darcy from the Prime Minister's office and Grant Oxley, senior staffer to Kevin Rudd. Grant Oxley, the Prime Minister is calling for party unity in the run-up to the next election. It's a reasonable request, isn't it?
Well, it would be if we were half a chance at it, but the idea that Julia Gillard can win the next election is, I'm afraid, complete bullshit.
Hazel Darcy, your own colleague thinks the idea of a new Gillard government is bullshit.
Well, I don't think he's actually saying that.
I think he is.
I don't think he is.
I am.
I don't think you are.
What, so when I say the idea of her winning the next election is bullshit, I'm not saying the idea of her winning the next election is bullshit?
Well, you can spin it any way you like, Grant, but I don't think that's what you're saying.
I think he is.
Look, Mr Oxley and Mr Rudd strongly support the Prime Minister and believe that she is the right person to lead Labor to the next election.
No, we don't. We strongly believe the best chance we've got at the next election is Kevin Rudd.
He does seem to be saying Kevin Rudd's the only hope you've got at the next election.
Well, again, I don't think that's what he's saying.
Yes, it is.
What is he saying?
He's saying that Julia Gillard is the leader, and if the party gets behind her, we can win.
I don't think he's saying that.
That's not what I'm saying.
I think it is.
What, so you know what I'm saying, but I don't?
That's not what I'm saying.
I think it is.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Julia is doing a great job and deserves to remain in that job.
And what's he saying?
He's saying the same thing, using different words.
Words... words like bullshit.
Well, you need to read between the lines.
Like a bullet lodged in the spine but too close to the brainstem to operate, we'll have to leave it there. Sean?
The new Desperate Poverty video game is blamed for urban violence. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Parent groups and community leaders are calling for the new video game Desperate Poverty to be pulled from U.S. shelves. Describing the game as a root cause for urban violence, New York Senator Chuck Schumer spoke out against the savage hand-to-mouth desperation the game depicts.
This game simply glorifies a lifestyle of poverty, and my concern is that many young people may be moved to imitate it.
Desperate Poverty's creators, however, insist their game is merely an escapist fantasy in which players subsist on food stamps and cling to humiliating dead-end jobs.
He achieved détente with the Soviet Union, reopened diplomatic relations with China, and negotiated a ceasefire with North Vietnam. But was he a poof?
I don't believe he was. I was his aide for 6 years, and I never saw him so much as look at another man. I myself was quite attractive when I was an intern at the White House, and he never made a pass at me. I used to bend over quite a lot in front of him to get materials out of the bottom drawer of the filing cabinet. And never once did I get any sense of him addressing me with his eyes or wanting to caress my body in any way. He did kiss me on the neck at his inauguration, but we were all drunk that night.
Richard Nixon, why did he really resign from office? Next on Were They Gay?
From Las Vegas, on the phone is the chairman and the president of the Trump Organization, Donald Trump. Donald, thanks very much for joining us.
Thought the introduction was totally inappropriate.
Oh, tell us why.
Because very inappropriate introduction. You know that's what I'm here to talk about. And I thought that your introduction was highly inappropriate.
Well,
but that's okay, because I've gotten to know you over the years. You know it, and he knows it.
Listen to me, Donald. Donald, you're beginning to sound a little ridiculous. I have to tell you.
I think you are, Wolf. Let me tell you something. I think you sound ridiculous. You know it, and so do I. You know that, and I know that. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You're a political scientist.
Well, all scientists are political to a degree.
Yeah, but you're an actual political scientist.
Well, all scientists are actually political. That's the point I'm making.
Well, what do you do for a living?
I'm a political scientist.
You study politics?
I do. That's exactly what I do.
And how do you do that?
Scientifically, right. I'm a political scientist.
Right. There's a huge amount of discussion at the moment, isn't there, about the state of Australian politics?
There is. I think there's a national debate about the quality of politics in this country.
And the electorate are not impressed, are they?
I think the electorate think it's all a bit of a circus.
Canberra on extraordinary scenes today in the federal parliament. The opposition leader and his manager of opposition business have run out of the House of Representatives to avoid voting with embattled former Labor MP Craig Thompson.
Will you shut up? Just listen.
No, you
stop covering up.
I move that the member be no longer heard.
No, lock the doors, too late.
He might be able to run, but he won't be able to hide after the 1st of July.
That's about the carbon tax.
It's a bit unfair.
Yeah, I think it is a bit unfair, Brian. Circuses have got some structure.
And there are safety nets.
There's that round bit in the middle, and the bloke with the whip and the chair doesn't stand himself down very often.
Nothing seems to stop at the moment in Canberra, does it?
Well, this is partly to do with you people, partly to do with the media. You're feeding off this, Brian, and there's a new sensation every day, isn't
it? Well, this week you had the Leader of the Opposition running out of Parliament in case he got a vote.
Well, and didn't he go well? He went like a rocket.
Very quick.
I mean, he is in some form, isn't he?
Just before the Olympics.
Well, not so much just before the Olympics, Brian. I'm thinking in terms of, well, you know why he left the Parliament in a hurry, don't you?
Well, he didn't want to benefit from a tainted vote.
No. He didn't want to benefit from a tainted Labour vote.
OK, so how would you describe the state of politics in Australia at the moment?
Well, just leaving aside a discussion of the media, whose principal effect is to exacerbate all this, what you've essentially got, Brian, is a government that was duly elected.
But it's in office with a coalition of independents.
Yes, but they were duly elected.
And led by a leader who tipped out the former leader.
Yeah, but she was elected.
Yes, twice.
Yes, but twice she was elected. My point is, this is all democratic.
Yeah, but the opposition have got a problem with that, haven't
they? Well, I don't know that they have. I think even they would admit that in broad terms they're also democratic.
Yeah, I mean, they want to be the government.
Well, they do, but of course they have similarly the problem that they are also in coalition and they also are led by a person who tipped out the previous leader.
So what do they do?
A lot of upper body work, Brian. They seem to be on the bike a fair bit, some swimming. They keep fit.
Over time, though, historically, is there patterns of behaviour?
Yes, the pattern, you mean in Australian parliamentary history? Yes, the pattern is that they swap sides from time to time.
So what can we say? Is Australia healthy, the parliament?
Is the Australian political system healthy? That's really a health services question, Brian. Ring him.
Craig Thompson.
Mitt Romney announces he will undergo gender reassignment surgery to better connect with female voters. Vice President Joe Biden announced from the White House Saturday his plan to honor fallen U.S. soldiers by jumping his Harley-Davidson over the Vietnam Memorial, saying that the, quote, badass tribute was the best way to pay homage to U.S. soldiers who've lost their lives in combat and the perfect follow-up to his past jumps across famous Washington monuments.
We repeatedly told the vice president that the jump was extremely dangerous and should not be attempted, but he insisted that even if he did fall, he planned to get fairly tanked before, so he wouldn't feel a thing.
One of the biggest issues facing the man on the land today is security of title. Hand in hand with that is the issue of Aboriginal reconciliation. The National Farmers Federation believes the only way to move these issues forward is to bring all the parties together, acknowledge the mistakes of the past, and make plans to build a bigger, better, and brighter future for everyone. But before we can start repairing some of the damage and begin the important process of reconciliation, we have to first acknowledge that that damage has been caused. So, Tommy, if you'd like to apologise for your native title claims on my properties, that'll be a pretty good beginning.
Well, people are surprised that we sell high-tech medical equipment, but the days of having to go one place to get your polyfiller and another to get your magnetic resonance imaging machine, they're over. And with Bunnings, if someone else has a high-end dental intraoral camera for less than us, we will beat that price by 10%.
Yoga irons, $24.67. Thorns, 8 cents each.
Well, if I can operate an ultrasound diagnostic machine, anyone can.
Bunnings Warehouse. Lowest prices are just the beginning.
Well, Australia gets its own emissions trading scheme in 2010. So what will that mean and how has it worked in other countries? Well, why am I bothering to ask you when Denise Gorgon has filed this report?
Think of Sweden and you think of ABBA, rice fields, caber tossing. But with Sweden now part of the European Union emission trading scheme, you can also add carbon trading to that list of Swedish clichés. Berger Fab works for Anki Chemicals, a plastics manufacturer here in Stockholm.
Carbon credits allow the holder of those credits to emit certain pollutants beyond their agreed allowance. The credits can be bought and sold. So a company that will fall short of its agreed emissions allowance can unsell those credits to a company that will exceed its allowance.
So carbon credits are like currency?
Mm-hmm, very much. I, like everyone here, is paid in carbon credits, not money. Some I sell and some I keep for my own pollution needs.
Berger's carbon credits afford him the luxury of an environmentally unaware lifestyle. He enjoys the freedom of ecological vandalism and the ignorance of the need to conserve energy. He can remain deaf to the pleas of the recycling movement and lead a life of gross unsustainability because of his ever-expanding Stockholm stockpile of carbon credits. He does his best, but has so far been unable to foul the environment to the extent that his carbon credits allow. But 2 weeks ago, Berger Fab died of blood poisoning here in his own backyard. And despite one final attempt at spending his carbon credits by being cremated, he has left a substantial quantity to his widow, Olga, who, determined not to leave her credits to her ungrateful children and presented finally with an opportunity to satisfy her lust with arson, now builds a pyre in her backyard each morning, made up of a myriad of things, including her dead husband's clothes, truck tires, and medical waste. This, Australia, is the future. This is also Denise Gergen in Stockholm.
And from a while back, Business and Finance with Sean McKellar.
And looking ahead to finance, Lex Holst from the Australian Shareholders Association discusses the bailout of the US financial markets. So you're opposed to the idea of senior executives at these major financial institutions getting any sort of golden parachute?
Oh, I'm happy for them to get a parachute, as long as I get to pack it and I get to push them out of the aeroplane.
That's later in the bulletin, but first, finance. And yes, while this week saw the US House of Reps finally pass the $700 billion bailout bill, just the shot in the chest the global crisis needed, in this correspondent's view, not enough credit has been given to the man responsible for actually getting it passed. Look at this.
appreciate serving.
Thank you very much, sir.
Now, yes, Hank Paulson is the Treasury Secretary and drafted the legislation, but it was our Prime Minister who rang the Congressional Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, and told him how important it was to get the legislation through. But is it all too little too late, with several major investment banks having already gone under and the few remaining gasping for breath? Parthenogenic Tucky has more, but not for long.
Wall Street is at a crossroads. The big players are now small game, and the only square they've been thinking outside of lately is the three-dimensional one they've had to put their belongings in. But brother, can you spare a thought for the survivors? Investment banking giant Morgan Stanley, while not out of the woods yet, can't see them for the trees anytime soon. But try shaking that tree, as happened earlier this week, and you might just not like the apples.
No, you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I have the money back there in a safe. Your money's not here. It's in hedge funds and futures and leverages.
They say that money makes the world go round. It remains to be seen whether it squares up the books. Parthenogenic Tucky, where Wall Street meets Main Street, New York.
Of course, the US isn't the centre of the world. That honour belongs to a ball of molten iron 5,000 kilometres beneath the Earth's crust. European heads of government spent this week banging themselves together in an effort to save their economies as well. Martin Palsy.
It was Nicolas Sarkozy's idea, a European bailout. Berlusconi could fund it. It'd be great and he'd be a hero. But he hadn't counted on Merkel. She shot the whole idea down like she was in a Messerschmitt. Guns blazing, she swooped down on the Paris summit. The sun behind her, her enemies blind to her attack. Germany doesn't need its banks propped up, she seemed to be saying. The inference was clear. We've got plenty of Nazi war loot still locked away in Switzerland. That'll see us through. Luxembourg was there too. I don't know why. It's not even a real country. Martin Palsy, the Elysee Palace, Paris, France.
But at the end of the day, the ultimate question is how all this affects us here in Australia. Recent surveys indicate that business confidence is at an all-time low. Joining me now from the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry is business analyst John Wayne. Not the actor, obviously. John, is this something you've noticed? Is confidence down in the business sector?
Well, me?
Yes.
Well, that's what people are saying.
And do you agree with them?
Well, I don't know. That's what they're saying.
Right. But is this a view you've formed?
Well, I wouldn't be asking me my view. I'd just get it wrong or something. But there's anecdotal evidence out. Sorry?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, sorry. Anecdotally, there's a lack of confidence out there, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what other people are saying, so it's not my fault if it's wrong.
No. Is this lack of confidence going to cripple the finance sector for a period of time, do you think?
Well, I think so. I mean, probably. I don't know. Not that I'm an expert or anything. I mean, other people would know more than me.
Well, how long can this drop in confidence go on for?
I wouldn't be asking me. Probably, sorry. Sorry, no, I'd be out by 100 years or something.
Yeah, we'll take a stab at it.
No.
All right, John Wayne, thank you for coming in tonight.
Well, I go home past here anyway, so it's no...
Well, Professor Ross Garnaut recommended this week we farm kangaroo instead of beef and lamb if we're serious about combating climate change. Flatulence from cows and sheep contribute to emissions. Apparently, the kangaroo's digestive system is more carbon friendly. Dr. Steve Abner assisted Dr. Garnaut in the preparation of his report. Steve, how do we know that kangaroos are less flatulent than cows or sheep?
Well, Dr. Garnaut went on a listening tour around Australia, visiting many farms and outback areas, and was able to determine with his own ears the veracity of this proposition.
Is it possible that the kangaroos were simply being more discreet?
Silent but deadly, you mean?
Yes.
Well, it's possible. Ross did do most of the listening from the car.
Steve, what was it you did to assist Dr. Garnaut in the preparation of his report?
Mainly the stapling.
Good evening, Richard Moorcroft with
sorry,
the news update.
Sorry, Richard, this does rather interrupt the flow
you know, of the sketch. So doing this. So if the story could possibly wait till the end of the show, that would be great. I can't imagine it's all that important.
Details of this show and other shows of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net.
No, that could wait till the late bulletin, can't it? Don't worry.
Well, I suppose so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, it's not your fault. I know you're just doing what you're told, but, you know, to see our show cut into like this, we spend a lot of time putting it together and everything, and when that happens...